Now I want to turn back to this passage that we have read here tonight in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And it's a great passage and a lovely one. If I were to ask you tonight what your greatest need was, the answer you would give me would surely depend on circumstances and on your present situation in life. For example, if you have no job and you've been made redundant, or you've tried to get a job and you haven't been able to succeed to do that, you would probably answer and say, my greatest need is to find a job, to find employment. Or if you were unwell and you'd been off work and it was a slow process of getting back to health and strength, you might answer the question and say, my greatest need is a complete recovery for my illness. Or if you'd been working hard all year and hadn't got a break, you would probably say, well, my greatest need is a holiday and a rest. So on the personal level, our needs vary. If on the national level I were to ask the question, what is our greatest need nationally at this particular time, I'm sure that your answers again would vary. Some might say, well, we need a government, we need the folks back up at Stormont, or some would say we need a solution or an answer to the Brexit situation, and of course, by that's how it goes. But if we were to ask the question generally, in a general sense, and one sits down and thinks about it, and we include all these different avenues, whether it's personal or nationally or whatever, what is man's greatest need? What is your greatest need? I would say that man's greatest need is redemption. That's our greatest need. We have all the same need because we have all the same problem. And of course, man's problem was sin. Sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, and it entered into the human bloodstream. Peter's talking to these people about redemption here and about being redeemed. And these are biblical terms which we hear about often. We hear about redemption. And of course we read about redemption and we sing about redemption. Some of the hymns tonight are being about redemption. We sing about redemption and we hear about redemption from the pulpit. But have you experienced it? Have you experienced redemption? Do you know what it is to be redeemed? Now these people that Peter was writing to had experienced it, and they knew what it was. He's writing to people who had redeemed. They had the possession of redemption, because that's what redemption is. It's a possession. We've established the fact that men and women need to be redeemed because of sin. But the wonderful thing is this tonight, that if you're not redeemed, you can be redeemed. This is something you need. And this is something, if you're not already redeemed, that you can be redeemed. You can have this redemption. My dear friends, you know that's not always the case in life. You might need something for your home. And it's going to cost a lot of money to have it, and you just haven't got that money. So that's something you just can't have at this particular time. Or some young person might need grades, particular grades, to get to university or college to study the course that they want to study. But if they don't get them, then they can't have the place. They can't get onto the course unless they get the grades. But where redemption is concerned, you need it, and praise God you can have it. When Paul wrote his letters, he wrote to the Ephesians, and he wrote to the Colossians, and he almost repeated himself, because Paul says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Paul was able to say to both those peoples, to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, he says, you know, we have redemption. This is what Peter is saying to the people here. He says, you have redemption. You might say to me tonight, well, you say I need it. That's fine. And you say I can have it, and that's great. But what is it? What is it? That's what we need to find out. First of all, tonight, we want to find what this possession of redemption really is. Outside the Bible usage, the word is found commonly in connection with the language of the pawn shop. It means to purchase or buy. Years ago, particularly around the time of the Second World War, nearly in every town and village and city there was the pawn shop. It was greatly used at that time because money wasn't easy to have. And if a person had to pay a bill and they owed that bill and they hadn't the wherewithal to keep the family and to feed them and to clothe them and they needed to pay that bill, you know, if they had an article which was valuable or an ornament or something like that, they would take that down to the pawnbroker and they would put it into pawn. And that meant that he gave them a sum of money and he kept it in pawn and entered into a contract with them. And so they took the money and they paid the bill, and in a few weeks' time, or maybe a month or 2 months' time, they got a bit of money gathered together and they were able to go down to the pawnbroker again. And they were able to redeem that ornament or that article that they had put into pawn. They paid him back the money with the interest that was gathered by it. So it means to set free by the payment of a ransom price. That's what it means, this word redeem. It means to set free by the payment of a ransom. Our English word redeem is translated by three Greek words. I'm not going to be trying to pronounce them tonight, but you can take it from me that there's three Greek words. The first one is apolutro, which means deliverance by the payment of a price. It means loosing or untying or delivering. A little boy some years ago was taken hostage by some of these terrorist organization, and his father had to pay a ransom to obtain his release. The second word is agorazo, and this brings before it the idea of the marketplace, because the marketplace was for the buying and selling of goods. That's what that means. It's carried on, the buying and selling of goods. We have a market here in Lisburn on Tuesday morning, and I usually go to the market every Tuesday, and some of the Baptists here from the church, they go and we bump into each other at the marketplace. It's a place for the buying and selling of goods. But in this particular time, there was a marketplace for slaves. And in my down at the slave market, people could go down to the slave market and they could buy a slave. They could purchase a slave and bring them home to be their servant and to work for them. And that's what that word means. Another word, my exagorazo, and this brings forward the idea of buying something out of the marketplace or out of commerce. There's a difference between a purchase for resale and a purchase that's made to take the article out of circulation altogether. For example, saying that there's a great painting that costs hundreds of thousands of pounds and it's up for auction at Christie's in London, and the people are bidding for this great painting, and the British Museum comes along, and they pay the price that's been asked and more, and they buy that article out of the marketplace, not only out of it to be sold again, but out of it forever. It will never be put up for auction again. It belongs to the nation, to the country. And that's what that word means. You see, friends, when you apply this in the spiritual realm, you find to men and women who need redemption. Paul says this in chapter 5 and verse 12. He says here in chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." And the fact of the matter is this: when we were born in the slave market of sin. We were slaves to sin. And my, we were born in bondage, and we were chained by sin, and we were helpless and powerless to do anything for ourselves, and we needed to be delivered. We needed to be brought out of the slave market and set free. And for that to happen, someone had to come along and pay the ransom price. They had to come along and do that. And the people Peter was writing to had been in bondage. They were once prisoners in the prison house of sin, but they had been redeemed. They had been set free. So we see here that these people had been redeemed. They had been brought out of the slave market and set free by the payment of a ransom. And Peter goes on then to tell them about the price of redemption. But how these people had been bought out of the slave market of sin. He says this in verse 19. In verse 18, we'll take it in the context. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." And that was the price that had to be paid. Yes. So you can see now how you can have it. You can see that you can have it, and you can see what it is, and you can see now how you can have it through the precious blood of Christ. The silver and gold which is referred to were little silver and gold coins that were used for the purchasing of a slave in the slave market. But Peter says, listen, it wasn't silver or gold coins that purchased our redemption. It was the precious blood of Christ. And you'll notice that the blood of Christ is referred to as precious blood. And when something is of great value, it's precious. It was the precious blood of Christ. And praise God, tonight it's still the precious blood of Christ. This is precious blood because it's the only means by which men and women, by which sinners could be redeemed. Not with silver nor gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ was needed to pay the ransom price for sin. The hymn writer said in that great hymn, "Not all the blood of bulls on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wipe away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." You see, friends, the precious blood of Christ was spotless blood. Peter says it was as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When the folks in the Old Testament had to bring their sacrifices, They had to keep them a certain while to make sure that they were without blemish. And his life, the life of Christ, it was without blemish and without spot. And you know, Christ's blood was precious blood because it was not only spotless blood, but it was shed blood. It had to be shed as a sacrifice for sin. The price for sin was paid by the shedding of the Savior's blood. And the precious blood of Christ was not only spotless blood and shed blood, but it was satisfying blood, because Peter says, by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, friends, this blood, this sacrifice satisfied the requirements of God and met the need of the sinner. Peter's reminding them here about the great price that had to be paid so that we could be redeemed. What a price. And so that you could be redeemed. And then he says this. He says, for verily, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And that's now the plan of redemption. The plan. We see the possession of redemption. It's something we all need. We need to be redeemed. And you can have it. And you see what it is. And you see the price that had to be paid before we could have it. The precious blood of Christ had to be shed. And that brings us to the plan of redemption. He's teaching them here that man's redemption was God's plan in eternity before the foundation of the world. It wasn't something that was passed at the Baptist Association or any other committee or any other church foundation. It wasn't anything like that. It was a plan that was made before the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb chosen to be the sacrifice for sin. He was set apart in eternity to be my Savior. And you see, when we go way back before the world in order stood into eternity, in this plan that God drew out, we see the foreknowledge of God. God could see man's ruin and man's need, and that Adam would fall, and that Adam would sin, and that sin would enter, and that man would be helpless and powerless. And so he made a plan. And we see in this plan the wisdom of God. My God's plan is the wisdom of God. And we see in the plan the love of God. God loved poor lost sinners and longed to save them. And the Lamb that had been drawn out in eternity was now being put into operation. He says here in verse 20, but was manifest, verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You see, the plan that was drawn in eternity, it was now being put into operation. Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, you know, when the fullness of the time was come, when the time came, when God's appointed time came, when God's clock moved to that particular time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And the fullness of the time was come. The plan was made. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. What to do? To redeem them. To redeem them that were under the law. You know, friends, this was the great plan of redemption being fulfilled and worked out. God sent forth his Son. That's incarnation. Made of a woman. to redeem them. That's crucifixion. To redeem them that were under the law, that's salvation. The Son of God came and died and paid the ransom price in drops of ruby blood at Calvary. And when he rose from the dead, he entered into heaven, listen to it, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Because the redemption I have tonight, it doesn't just last for 6 years or 16 years or 60 years. It's eternal redemption. I'm eternally redeemed. So we see here the possession of it. It's something we all need. And bless God, it's something we can all have because a price was paid in drops of ruby blood. And a plan was made, and that plan, my, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. And then it says here in verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And that's the principle of redemption. You know, these people whom Peter is writing to here are redeemed and saved because of their faith. Because of their faith in the Redeemer. And that's how you get the possession. By saving faith in Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. The ransom has been found. The door is open. The door of the prison house. But people can only be redeemed when they step by faith outside the door and of faith in the Redeemer. By these people Peter was writing to were redeemed because they had saving faith in the Son of God and their Redeemer. And dear friends, that's what it means to be redeemed. That you come to that place, you recognize that you're lost and in bondage and slave in the marketplace of sin. But God sent a Son who paid the ransom price for sin, who rose again to be the Savior. And my, there's redemption available, and the door is open. When you come and put your faith in him, my, you're able to say, and we have redemption through his blood. And that brings me finally tonight to the purpose of redemption. You see, behind every plan, there's a purpose. When someone has a plan to build a house, they go to the architect and they have a plan drawn up and passed by the different people that need to pass it. And the reason they have that plan drawn up is because it's their intention to build it. If they weren't going to build it, they wouldn't have a plan. It's their intention to build the house. It's the same, somebody wants to start a business, they see a gap in the market and they say, you know, I could do well in business there. And so they get their business plan and they go along to the bank manager and they say to the bank manager, this is my business plan. And they answer all the questions he asked them. And they have a business plan. They have that business plan because it's their intention to start the business. And behind God's plan of redemption, there was a purpose. Because Paul says this. He says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son then an heir of God through Christ. You know, friends, that's the purpose of God's plan in redemption. That those who were the slaves of sin can become the sons of God, can be brought into the family of God, and become an heir of God through Christ. You know, friends, we were once slaves, but because the price was paid at Calvary, and we exercised faith in the blessed Redeemer who shed his blood, we are in the family tonight. We've been adopted into the family as the sons of God. The great principle of adoption. The father brought his eldest child to the forum in the olden days when these things were written, and he declared that this was his heir. We're not only in the family tonight, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. My, we're rich through Christ. Rich through Christ. You know, when I was in Kilkeel, a man was going out into the Lord's work, him and his wife. And this guy worked for a millionaire. And so we had a farewell service. The guy who employed him. In fact, I'll tell you who it was. It was the late Eddie Hockey, who was killed in the helicopter. He worked for Eddie Hockey. And Eddie Hockey came to the meeting that Sunday night. And when I was standing at the door, he shook hands with me, and the young fellow's father came over to me, and he said, "Pastor, see that man away out there? He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire, you know." I says, "I know that, but I'll tell you this. I'm far richer than he is. Because his riches is material. He'll have to leave them behind. But my riches is eternal. I'm an heir and a joint heir with our Lord Jesus Christ." Dear friends, it's great to be redeemed. And your great need tonight, if you're not redeemed, is redemption. You need to be redeemed. It's wonderful that you can have it. It can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to say, as many of these other people that Paul and Peter wrote to in the Word of God, that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank God tonight for this possession that everybody in this meeting can have. We can have redemption, and we can have it because the price was paid and the Lamb came and the plan was fulfilled and the purpose will be fulfilled when we be presented before God according to the riches of his grace. If you're not redeemed tonight, thank God you can be, because the price has been ready paid and the Savior lives, and it's by faith that you come to him and receive this wonderful redemption which is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.